We are here for goodness sake. Hello family, this is Carol Worth with Salt of Paul LLC. Welcome to our second season of the Goodness Forum, where goodness and positivity are openly discussed and amplified. Our topic today is a stand for love, and our guest is Jackie Ledet. Sorry. introduce yourself to our audience and tell them a little bit about you.
Okay. Well, my name is Jackie Ledet, and I'm originally from Houston, Texas. I currently live in Spokane, and I am a mother of two, and I own my own business. I'm a hairstylist, and I specialize in extensions and braiding.
Fantastic. You know, I first met Jackie because she comes through the Starbucks that I work at, and we just hit it off because she is such a bright star. And by the way, the background noise you're hearing is Anaya, her daughter, who may come on camera or not. Come here, girl. All right, here we go. This is Anaya, and so today we're going to talk about this fantastic attitude that Jackie has and her just amazing way of being. She also has a son, Aiden, that she's going to talk about, who is also an extraordinary person. So tell us a little bit about your background and your story.
Okay, well, so as I said, I'm a mother of two. My oldest son, Aiden, is 8 years old. And it's funny because, as I was telling you before, I always said I would never get married and never have children.
Right.
And somehow I ended up married and having children.
Right. And they say, if you want to make God smile, tell him your plan.
Exactly. And that's exactly what happens. So the unique thing about our story is that my son was born with spina bifida. And so he has paralysis below the knees.
Gotcha.
And so in addition to all of a sudden being a mother,
right,
there was this gift presented to us of having a child with spina bifida. And I really say that it was a gift because I wouldn't be as nurturing.
Gotcha.
You know, spina bifida really caused me to really be in tune with my son,
right,
and really show him that he was able to just be anything he wanted to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to read the quote today. We always have a quote, and this is from Dr. Martin Luther King, and it is, "The measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort, but where he stands at times of challenge." And you shared a little bit with me about, you know, your journey. So I would love for you to talk to the audience because, you know, they see you right now and you're just as shining and, you know, wonderful. But it probably wasn't always that way. And some people might be experiencing tough times right now and would love to hear how you triumph.
Okay. Well, first of all, I found out that Aiden would have spina bifida when he was about 4 months in utero.
Okay.
My specialist, I had a wonderful specialist in Houston. Everyone just highly recommended him. A lot of accolades. I mean, really accomplished. And once he delivered the news that Aiden had spina bifida, he told me, you know, hey, you're young, you're 25, mm-hmm. you know. This isn't something that you're going to want to deal with, and so you should probably just start over. So for me, that I didn't really agree.
Yeah.
It wasn't a decision that I felt like I could be comfortable with going forward.
Right.
And I didn't feel like it was something impossible.
Yeah.
So, of course, we moved forward, and he kept trying to get me to change my mind, but my mind was made up.
Sure.
So, at about 7 months along, I just stopped getting medical attention from him.
Yeah.
So, I knew what hospital I had to deliver at. I'm already registered there. I said, you know what? I'll just walk every day, take my vitamins, continue to pray about it.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens from there.
Yeah.
So that's what we did.
Yeah.
And I mean, immediately I mean, Aiden went right into surgery right after birth. Mm-hmm. When he was born, his spine was exposed.
Right. So for those people in our audience who might not know what spina bifida is, that is what happens.
Yes. So his spine is not straight. It collects into a ball toward the bottom. Some people, depending on where that defect lies on the spine, that determines how much or how little function you have.
Got you.
Aiden's is lower, so he only has paralysis below the knees. So when he was born, that defect protruded out of his skin, so the spine was open and exposed.
Got it.
So immediately, that had to be covered over. Mm-hmm. Also, a shunt had to be put in place, and that's a device in the brain. The spinal fluid travels down his spine, but it hits that defect and it backs up onto the brain.
Got it. And so that would obviously be a problem.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't want fluid on the brain.
Right.
So the shunt takes the fluid and reroutes it into the stomach so that he can still absorb it.
Oh, got it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So that was off the bat two surgeries.
Wow.
Just coming into this world.
Yeah.
He stayed in the NICU for 3 months. He came home at 3 months old. Mm-hmm. During that time, that was interesting as well, because due to the fact that his spine was exposed, he couldn't go through the birth canal, so I had to have a C-section.
Right.
And because he was born a little early, not necessarily premature, but a little early, he wasn't necessarily in place to be born. So the doctors were faced with an option to either take him out one way, which would injure the spine more, or take him out another way, which would fracture his femur.
Oh my goodness.
So fracturing the femur was a lesser of two evils.
Right. Oh,
so that's
goodness.
Where we went. So now.
So he has been through a lot just from the get-go.
Yes.
As have you.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Right? Talk about the quote.
I know, right?
But where he stands at times of challenge.
Exactly. So, right, and they're asking me this on the table while I'm, you know, in the middle of my C-section, like, okay, if we go this way, this injures his spine, so we have to let you know that going this way would fracture his femur.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, well, let's go this way.
Yeah.
You know? So, with a child that young, when you're talking about fracturing bones, you don't cast them or anything.
Right.
They just lay in a certain position and they kind of fuse back together.
Got it.
So in the NICU, he had to lay in a certain position that would not hurt his spine, but would allow his femur to heal.
Got it.
So I could not handle him.
Oh my gosh, so you couldn't even hold him?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, so there were certain nurses that, you know, could handle him and things, and he had to stay in this position, you know, for optimum healing. So that brought me to another issue in my life, something that I had been neglecting to face.
Okay.
I was morbidly obese at the time.
I don't even know what to say. Okay, off camera, she had told me this, and I'm just shocked, because... What?
Yes, I was morbidly obese before I had Aiden, and then of course after giving birth.
Wow.
So at that time, I'm sitting on the floor and I'm giving this 3-month-old massages. I would go to stand up and it was so difficult. I would be completely out of breath. I mean, it was really bad.
It's so hard. It's shocking, right? Because it's so hard to, just look, right? You guys can see her now. Well, she is amazing. Oh yeah, I have to say this because it's a podcast too. I'm shocked because you've got a very nice trim figure.
Well, thank you.
Right? You don't look in any way like you've ever had a weight loss. I mean, ever. Thank you for reminding me, Victoria, that I need to say this out loud because some of our people are just listening,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay, so.
So, yes, at that time I was 25 and I'm thinking, you know, I'm supposed to be like in the best shape of my life, you know, and I have this child here and I'm doing all these massages. I have specialists coming in and therapists and all of this to work with him. And how do I tell him, okay, you are going to have to exercise and stretch and eat properly so that you're not too heavy, so that if you could walk and if walking is a possibility, weight is not an added stressor to that.
Right.
I couldn't understand telling him all of those things, and I couldn't even get up off of the floor.
Yeah. Right. So you're like, okay, I gotta walk my talk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I could not go with the do as I say, not as I do. I couldn't. So, you know, and I'm just sitting here thinking like, oh my goodness, something needs to be done. And, you know, of course, I was aware of the weight,
sure,
you know,
sure.
But it was just something that I had learned to deal with.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But now, if this was going to be difficult, massaging an infant,
right?
Like, I don't know what other ways he's going to need me. And yes, will I be able to perform being morbidly obese if I can't even get up off the floor?
Right.
Got so it. I'm like, this weight has to go, and it has to go quickly, because I don't know what we're going to be up against.
Yeah.
So if he calls on me, if he needs me for something, I need to be able to do it.
Right. As much. Absolutely.
So now, nursing was still very important to me,
sure,
because just reading up on the benefits, mm-hmm, of it, and in my mind it was still, you know what, that's one thing I can do to ensure that he has a healthy life.
Yes.
You know, even though he has all of these things going on, you know, he can still be healthy.
Right.
You know, and that could be my contribution to his health and putting him on the right track.
Absolutely.
So, with that being said, I decided that I definitely wanted to nurse until one, and after that, this weight needed to go. So, Aiden turned one in January, and I had a gastric bypass.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and I lost 147 pounds.
Wow. Wow.
Yes, and you really don't realize how much weight that is. That's a whole other adult that basically I was carrying around,
yes,
on my back.
Yes.
So I can't really carry another adult on my back and provide the care that my son needed at that time.
Right.
So this little guy was already like turning my world in a completely different direction.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like,
what a blessing, right?
Yeah. You either sit down and cry and whine about it, or you either say, hey, this is what it is, and where do we go from here? So that's what we did. So my grandmother came and helped me with Aiden because he was one. My parents chipped in, like everyone just really, the family just really got involved. And yeah, so I would put Aiden in the stroller. I walked 5 miles a day.
Whoa.
Yeah, and so that was great too, because that also introduced exercise and being out,
right,
and living this healthy lifestyle. He was able to see that, and he was used to getting out and all of that from an early age.
Right.
So
right. Because something our audience doesn't know is that they're gonna meet Aiden.
Yes.
Next week on the next show, but he is an amazing athlete, and so you're going to get an opportunity to meet Aiden and see him for yourself and see what an extraordinary human being your son is.
Thank you.
Yeah, and your daughter, you've seen her.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So yeah, so at that point, it was reiterating why I needed to do this, like walking 5 miles with him in the stroller. You know, it reminded me of why I was doing this.
Right.
And then for him, it was like, oh, okay, we're out, we're getting this fresh air every day. And it was putting him on the track of knowing that physical activity should be a part of your life. And
absolutely.
Living a healthy lifestyle.
Absolutely. Wow, that's amazing. So now, what you were telling me before is that when you started, your career was something different.
Yes,
than what you're
totally
doing
different.
Now.
So. Yes, I was an insurance broker. Yeah. So, and my mom is in the insurance industry. So, I mean, it was something, I was a natural at it. Yeah, it was just a part of my life. And I was very good at it. It was a great lifestyle. I traveled a lot. I saw a lot at an early age, and it was just amazing. Yeah. And so that was the reason why I said I would never get married and never have children.
Right,
because I'm the type of person, I'm either all the way in or all the way out. So I knew, and like I loved my career. And so I knew if I got married, I would be devoting myself to my husband. If I had kids, I would be devoting myself to my kids. And yeah. So, and sure enough, once my son came along, it's like, okay, I cannot be in and out. You know, I need to be present. I can't leave him in the hands of anyone else because I want him raised a certain way. I want him to be independent. I want him to be strong. I want him to be confident within himself. And that's something that I needed to be present for. You know, I didn't want to trust that with anyone else.
Yeah.
So I've always done hair. I've been having a clientele, honestly, since I was 13. So it's always been a side thing.
Yes.
So at that point, it became my main source of income. And that was scary in itself. So there were a lot of changes going on simultaneously.
Sure.
So by the time I got to the point of Aiden being one and me having my gastric bypass, I'd also completely switched careers. Because right up until he was born, I was still an insurance broker. I was still traveling and everything, you know, life goes on. So that was that. In the middle of all of that, between birth and two, Aiden had 10 surgeries on his shunt.
Oh my goodness.
So that was 10 times going into the brain.
Oh wow.
The shunt needed to be adjusted because there's a pump that you have to pump the right amount of fluid off of the brain. In a timely manner. It can't be too fast. It can't be too slow.
Right, because the pressure.
Exactly.
Yeah, they got to keep the pressure just right.
Right. So, so between birth and two, there were 10 surgeries. Our hospital stays ranged between 2 weeks and 1 month. Some stays were 2 weeks.
Right.
Some were three, and we've even stayed as long as 1 month in the hospital.
Wow.
So,
what a journey, right?
Yeah, but it's so interesting because along the way, I was always very adamant about what Aiden was exposed to. The people around him, their attitudes toward him and around him. And I really had to tell my family, you know, let him try it first before you jump in and automatically take over. Let him get acclimated with his body and understand how to move and do certain things instead of just automatically rushing in and picking him up and doing this for him and doing that for him.
Right.
So by the time we got to the point of having all of these surgeries and everything, Aiden was already very independent and in the hospital. He was just, you know, I was like, okay, this is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, the only time we had an issue is when they would cut off the food prior to surgery. That was a major issue. But that was it. You know, other than that, his demeanor and everything, the doctors would come in and explain what they needed to do. The surgeon would give us the plan. Aiden was there to hear those things. And even now, you know, I have advised him to know what's going on.
Sure.
Be aware.
Right, so that he can take responsibility for the
Exactly.
Wow.
So, with that being said, Aiden has always been around myself or family. I never really did daycare. Because having the shunt and because we had so many malfunctions we had tubing popped, like the tubing that carries the fluid into the stomach. It has popped, it has coiled, we've had to adjust different pressures, like just anything that could happen has happened.
Right.
And he doesn't convey the typical signs and symptoms of the shunt malfunction. So it's really just a change in his demeanor.
Okay.
So that was another reason why I needed to be present and people who knew of his condition needed to be present around him.
Got it.
So from there, it's so funny because one of my major worries was that that motherly instinct would not kick in.
Oh.
And because I honestly never thought of children.
Isn't that funny, it wasn't. Right? Because, you know, when that's where I was like, oh my gosh, what a natural mother you are. So that's so funny.
Yeah, I've never thought of children in that way. Friends of mine would have kids, and I'm like, oh, you know, what a cute kid, and go right on, you know, just something I never thought about, you know. So I worried that I would have that maternal instinct or not, you know. It was, and someone told me, actually my sister told me that it would come naturally.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't think
not so.
So
sure. Yeah.
Not really sure about that one. And sure enough, it did come.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad it did, because there were times when I saw a change in Aiden's demeanor. Yes. At that time, we were still in Houston, and the hospital that specialized in what he needed was about 45 minutes away.
Oh, wow.
When you're dealing with fluid being on the brain, you have a very short window before
yes.
you start getting into like brain damage
yes.
and things like that.
Yes.
So I would see a change in his demeanor. He just wasn't quite Aiden. And Aiden has a very, like, his personality.
Yeah, and you will see that.
And there were times when he just wasn't Aiden.
Yes.
And so it was like, no questions asked. We're going straight to the ER, to Texas Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
And I've had nurses, you know, I would tell them, okay, my son's having a shunt malfunction. And they said, well, we have to do tests to see if he's having a shunt malfunction, you know. And sure enough, they would do the test. And I'm like, oh my goodness, he's starting to have a malfunction.
Yeah.
You know, it got to the point, because like I said, between birth and two, there were 10 yes. surgeries. It got to the point where I would have a bag packed, you know, with enough overnight clothes for myself, and I could grab my bag and go yeah. when need be. So, I would walk in with my bag, and people would look at me like I was crazy, you know, and I would say, my son's having a shunt malfunction. And, you know, the doctor told me, one of his main surgeons told me, you know, if you feel that there is something going on, you know him best. You know him better than any of these surgeons, doctors, nurses,
right.
go with it.
Right.
And that was the best advice that I could have been given.
Yeah.
Because I went with it, and every single time it's been a shunt malfunction.
Wow.
So, and we've just been very blessed on that level. I mean, in so many ways, but just on that alone, it's been amazing.
Yeah.
So to follow that instinct that I didn't even know existed.
Right.
But it's there. It popped up. So I'm thankful for
well,
that.
You know, and what's so is like your journey, and it's continuing.
Yes, it
and
is continuing.
That amazing way in which you navigate the world in such a positive way mm-hmm. and provide that basis for your son. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get an opportunity for the audience to meet him.
I'm so excited.
Next week. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Yeah. And so we will put in the show notes your contact information. And are you open to having people contact you? Number one, you have a business.
Yes.
And then just if they have, if there's somebody out in our audience who has some similar kind of challenge, are you open to having them contact you?
Oh yes, most definitely. All because right. when you're in the middle of it, I mean, I didn't have anyone that I knew that went through anything like this. That was
sure.
totally new for me. So if I could help someone else from everything that I've been through, I would love to.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Of course.
Thank you
so much. I really appreciate you being here.
You're welcome.
Human being. And you are a real stand for love, and this one's an angel.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for viewing, and come back next week, and you get to meet an extraordinary young man, Aiden, Jackie's son, who is doing extraordinary things in life and spreading positivity. See ya next week.